Good morning. It's truly an honor to be with you today. I traveled all the way from India, but it's great to be in the midst of fellow Indians. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, first of all, I just want to take a moment to thank Pastor. He just met me once and was willing and kind enough to allow me to share the pulpit with him this Sunday morning. And I'm honored also to have with me my mother, Esther Samuel John, and that's my mother. I know we don't look alike, but she is. And my younger brother, Enoch, he's studying near Pittsburgh. And also we have with us friends, Rosa and Houston, with us this morning. Well, you know, I am blessed to have a wife, Carla, and four children back in Mysore. We have two boys, Nathaniel and Brennan, and two daughters, Autumn and Aaliyah Grace, who are also with us in the city of Mysore. Well, I just want to share with you a few moments about my grandfather's life and about my life to give you an idea this morning as we get to God's Word. Well, my grandfather's name is S.D. Barnabas, and he was one of the pioneers of the IPC Church in Rayalaseema area of Andhra Pradesh. It was in 1939 when he was the Sando of Mysore under the Wadeyars, who were in power in the Mysore kingdom at that time. And his father was David, a palace contractor. And my grandfather did not have peace in his life. He was born into a Catholic family, and he was a womanizer. He was a drunk. He was possessed of various evil spirits, and he did not have any peace. But at that moment, in the city of Mysore, Sanyasini Penamal was doing street preaching. And while she was preaching, my grandfather heard the message of the gospel and came to accept Christ as his Savior. And Sanyasini Penamal said that, "I believe God is wanting you to go to Vijayawada," which is about 40 days of journey as he started from Mysore, as he started to walk. And when he got to Vijayawada, he was discipled by the Apostle P.M. Samuel and his wife. And for many years, he had worked with them right there in Gunadala, outside of Vijayawada. And later, he had a burden to go to the Rayalaseema area of Andhra Pradesh. And in 1952, moved to the city of Mysore again to plant the first pioneer work in the Pentecostal area of ministry. And in 1986, he went to be with the Lord. But during his time, God used him to pioneer about 40 works in Andhra Pradesh and parts of Karnataka and also parts of Maharashtra. And, you know, his life was a life of a legacy. As you think about it, the early pioneers of Pentecostalism in India did not have it easy. But in 1973, during one of his trips to North Dakota, and while he was preaching there, and when he was talking about baptism, I believe that he met my Aunt June, who's an older sister of my mother, who's from Watford City in northwest North Dakota. And it was during that time God spoke to my grandfather and said that Esther was going to be his daughter-in-law. And after a few months of prayer, of the confirmation in her heart, she took a step of faith to move to India to marry my father, Samuel John, whom she had never met. And they've been married for 35 years and been blessed with four children. And I'm her first son. And also my sister Annie is here in Seattle. She wasn't able to come today because of some repairs at her house. And Enoch is my younger brother. And we have a sister named Phoebe back in Mysore. So we've been blessed in regards to having a great legacy and a family who's been serving the Lord for many years. Amen. You know, in 1992, I had rededicated my heart to the Lord in a small city called Nanjangud, south of Mysore, if you have traveled to Ooty on that road. And at that time, God put upon my heart to go to Bible college. And it had been promised to me that if I do well in PUC and everything, that I could go to America to study. And in 1992, I moved to go to Trinity Bible College and Assemblies of God College in the state of North Dakota. It was there that, you know, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, in October 1992. And God gave me a desire for ministry. And in 1996, as I graduated, I had no desire whatsoever to go back to India. I said, "Lord, if there's any country you call me to, I hope it's not India." I said, "I've seen the difficulties in the city of Mysore, because Mysore and the state of Karnataka, if you have studied the Operation Mobilization prayer book, Operation World, Karnataka is the graveyard of missionaries in the south part of India, just like Uttar Pradesh is in the north part." And I remember when we used to go to show the movies, you know, Karuna Mayudu or Jesus film, that some of the radicals would hear that we were going to be in that area and they'd shut the electricity off. And growing up, I remember having a white American mother. And I thought, she has got to be rich. You know, I remember her blonde hair. I used to save that because I thought it was gold hair. And I thought, you know, my mom is rich. And I used to ask my grandmother, Grace, who had a great, you know, who had been greatly influenced by the pioneers of Pentecostalism in India. You know, I used to ask for a pair of shoes, power shoes by Bata Company. And you know, two words that they used to tell me is, go pray. And I was so frustrated growing up. I said, I can't even have a good pair of shoes. I just had to buy the regular shoes. And I wasn't too happy. And I didn't have a desire to go back to India. And it was in 2004, while we were pastoring in the state of Nebraska, that my wife and I took about 4 weeks off from our pastoral ministry and took three of our children with us at that time and went to India. And it was in the Rayalaseema area of Andhra Pradesh that I was in a town called Alagadda in the Karnool district, that one lady came to me and she spoke to me in Telugu. She said, Ayya, ma urlo yavrule, yavrana vachi sahayam cheste baguntadaya. And with those words she spoke to me, immediately, I've always had a heart for missions. So I took out my wallet and I asked her, how much rent is it for this little shed that they were renting where 30 believers were meeting? And she said, I think 300 rupees. And I said, Amma, teeskondi. And I gave her that 300 rupees. But you know what? God wasn't just satisfied with my offering that day. He wanted something more from my life. When I returned back to Nebraska, for the first 2 weeks, I wasn't just experiencing jet lag because of the 12-hour, 11-hour time difference, but I was experiencing the prompting of the Holy Spirit in my heart. God was saying, Tim, I want you to go to India. And all I could remember are the many thousands of towns and villages that in India need to be reached with the gospel. And I was so scared to share with my wife, Carla, because I was wondering, you know, is she going to have the same pull that God is pulling me to India? And after I shared with my wife, she said, yes, honey, I feel that God is wanting me also to go and to work with children. Amen. So in 2004, while we were pastoring, we resigned our pastorate. We sold everything we had to make it about 12 or 13 suitcases. And then we started to raise some money. We took a step of faith to go to India. And we have been serving in India now for 3.5 years. And as we have served there, God has given us a desire for church planting. My friends, if you've known about India, some of you might have been born and brought up here in America, even though you're of Indian descent. But most of you, I assume, are born and brought up in India. As you see India, we look that there are 400,000 towns and villages that do not have a Christian, let alone a Pentecostal presence. I want you to think about it for a moment. You know, I'm blessed with an Indian father and an American mother. And North Dakota is one of the smallest states in America on the Canadian border. You know, every little town, which might have 30 or 50 people, has one or two churches in America. Think about that. Small towns of 30 or 40 people has one or two churches. But in India, there are many towns, many villages that still do not have a church. So God started a work in my heart. And you know, God is raising up, I believe, nationals in India. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit. He's saying, I want to use you. Amen? I want to use you. I want to make a difference through your life so that you can reach people and touch people's lives. You know, this morning, I want to just show a 3-minute video that kind of just gives you a glimpse into our lives of ministry in Mysore. And then I want to come and just share with you for a few moments from God's Word. So if we could get our DVD going, please. Thank you. Can you give the volume, please, on that? And play. You know, while they're working on that, just want to share with you what some of the things that we're doing are. We're involved in two schools in our city of Mysore with about 800 students that we provide education for. And most of them that we're serving come from daily wage laborers in the area called Kumbar Koppal. And it's one of the most difficult areas in Mysore. And we're providing education for about 350 students there. And in Tilaknagar, which is more in the central part of Mysore, we have another school, and both of them are grace schools. And one of them were pioneered by my grandfather and grandmother. And one of the other schools by my uncle, Prabhu Charan, who is also a pastor. And one of the ways that God is allowing us to reach many of the parents and the families are through our schools. But also what we have done is, in the past 3.5 years, we started about five sewing training centers where we go into villages that are difficult to reach the gospel. So we use it as an avenue to provide young mothers and young ladies with embroidery and tailoring classes so that we're able to help train them. And one of the other things that God is enabling us is we have 3,000 Iranian students in our city. And Mysore has one of the greatest concentration for Iranians in India. At the University of Mysore, we have many students who are coming for their PhD programs, but do not have good English. And one day while I was at the grocery store, I asked this man if I could jump in line ahead of him because I only had one item. So I gave him my business card and I said, if I can be a blessing to you in any way, let me know. So about 3-4 days later, this man named Habib and his friend Rasul, a tall man, came to my office. And they said, sir, you speak good American English. Could we have your help to teach us English as second language or ESL? So I'm busy as a pastor and also pastoring other pastors and all these things. And I thought, how am I going to be able to help them? But God spoke to my heart and he said, I want you to help them. And as God started to speak to me, I was able to give them some tuitions. One man, Habib, brought his friend Rasul. Rasul brought Hussein. Hussein brought his wife Sherzad. And about 4 months ago, this Iranian lady, a devout Muslim woman, accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Amen? Not only that, but today we have about 20 Iranian students who are coming every week for tuitions. Okay.
South Indian Outreach has made the planting of churches and training of pastors a primary objective. Since 2005, SIO has planted 7 churches, revitalized 3 churches, and built 7 church buildings. Currently, SIO provides oversight and support to 25 congregations and their pastors. South Indian Outreach helps oversee and operate 2 Grace School campuses. These schools provide education to some of the most poverty-stricken people in Mysore. With your help, SIO has helped raise the quality of education while providing it at a minimal cost to the families of the students.
Oh, I can't wait to see what's inside. It's so pretty. It's gotta be good.
Lady,
the 5 Hope Sewing Centers continue to provide a desperately needed skill and an entrance into the lives of the students. The Universities of India, are a melting pot of the nations of the world. Tim and Carla have found an open door with these people in teaching English as a second language. In a culture where infants are abandoned every day, where women are abused by husbands and other family members, where believers are persecuted, a home of hope is needed. Because of the generosity of many people, such a home is now a reality. With the building and staffing nearly complete, the Open Arms Crisis Center is opening November 2008. Your prayers and help are needed to supply and maintain this place of safety, healing, and hope.
So that gives you a visual of some of what we're doing in India. And you know, it's amazing what we're able to do if you have a vision from the Lord. Amen? You know, the greatest thing is not about having money. A lot of times we think money is the answer to missions work. Money is the answer to a vision. But you know, when God gave us this vision last year for the Crisis Center, and it was about $150,000, Carla and I didn't have the money. But what God gave us was a vision, because in our city of Mysore, it's a very dark city overcome by the spirit of Chamundeshwari or Durga, which is one of the gods of Karnataka. And many of the problems that we face are suicide and many such things of depression. But God has given us now an indoor to be able to reach out to many women and children and also people who are in crisis. You know, for about $30 a month, which is $1 a day, we're able to provide, for example, this mother that you saw. She has two children, and we're taking care of her because she had been kicked out by her husband because she had one more girl child. And just when I visited with my wife 2 days ago, she said another father and mother have told their daughter that they can't take care of her anymore, and her husband is not willing to take care of her, and she's 5 months along pregnant. And, you know, God has given us a vision and a desire. You know, along with church planting and our schools, one more avenue to reach into the city of Mysore so that we can make a difference. You know, my friends, for about $60 a month, we're able to support one of the nationals, pastors in the villages who is planting a church. You know, for $100 a year, we can educate one child, give them uniform, give them their books, and take care of their fees. For $3,000, we're able to plant one church in a village with support for a pastor for 2 years. For $10,000, we're able to build a church. You know, sometimes when we come to America, the issue of materialism is all around us. You know, I come to America and I just wish I had all the money sometimes, because you're bombarded with everything, aren't we, of materialism, how the next fashion and the design looks so much better. But you know, when we think of India, God is giving a great harvest. According to the Vishwa Hindu Parishad, a radical Hindu group in India today, 75,000 people are coming to know the Lord every day. Amen? It's not a study done by Christians, but by the Vishwa Hindu Parishad. And you may be following some of the persecution in Orissa and Karnataka. And we have experienced some of that. And the police are giving us protection every Sunday to our church because of some of the threats that have been made by certain radical groups. But you know, my friends, God is on the work. You know, He's on the job. People are being saved. So I want to encourage you, continue to pray for our country, that God will raise up leadership at every level so that when the harvest is brought in, that it will not be lost. Amen? I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, for a few moments to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans, chapter 15. And I want to share with you verses 17 and following for a few moments. Romans chapter 15, verses 17 through 21.
Proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand.
Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray today that your word would come alive. I pray that we would be able to apply the truth of it, God, so that your name is glorified through our lives. I pray that every heart is touched and challenged. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, Paul is sharing to the Roman believers about his venture on evangelism and missions as he's winning souls. My friend, this morning I've titled this short sermon, Missions in the 21st Century. Missions in the 21st Century. I want to share with you three truths that I believe can be applied not only from the first century, but also in modern 21st century. You know, many of us, we live in a postmodern era. Modernism has passed by, but modernism is still catching around the world. You know, when you look at the reality of missions in America, America today is the third largest mission field in the world. It's the largest mission field in the Western Hemisphere. You think about China, you think about India, our motherland, and you think about America. We're the third largest mission field in the world, where less than 60 million people in America today are attending church. It used to be that about 90% of America attended church 60 years ago. You think about the dwindling statistics in many ways. But my friends, God is not telling us to be discouraged. God is not telling us to be overwhelmed. You know, some of us, we may have looked at the elections in America and we may have been depressed in the spiritual issues. But you know what? I am encouraged because God is still on the throne. Amen? You know, God is still doing a great work. It needs to be a wake-up call for us. You know, where God is saying, you know, just as in the day of Paul and Peter and John, though they may have faced challenges, yet he did a great work. You know, Paul is writing to these group of believers, and this is what he's saying. You know, I'm not going to dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. But you know what? What God has done. I want to share with you three W's this morning from this text. The first thing in regards to evangelism and missions that I see in this is the Word of God. The first W is the Word of God in accomplishing the mission that God has set before us. My friends, we need to understand this. A day in which many pastors and preachers are seen more as cult figures and worshipped in the great churches of America and around the world. It is the Word of God that changes the lives of people. Paul says in Romans 10, what? The Word of God needs to be preached so that belief, so that faith can be brought up in the hearts of people, so that they can believe in their hearts that Jesus rose from the dead, that they'd confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord. Amen? The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Why? It cuts beyond just the flesh. It cuts beyond the blood. It cuts us in the spiritual realm. My friends, the Word of God, it is so important for us to understand it, to use it as a sword. You know, that is the only offensive weapon that has been given to the church in Ephesians chapter 6. We need to understand that there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." There is no other substitute for the gospel today in America or in India. You know, sometimes we think that, you know, if you're just nice, if you're just kind, if we just use flowery words that people come to Christ. My friends, who greater than Jesus himself, that when he spoke with compassion, when he spoke with authority, that thousands of people gathered around him because he spoke words of life. Why? They're beautiful words, wonderful words of life, as that great hymn says. Amen? Today, my friends, in America, if there's anything the church needs, it is once again the honor of the Word of God. We need to understand that it is the Word of God that draws people, that convicts people, that changes people. And it's so nice to see some of our children this morning meditate, you know, and once again memorize the Scripture so that they're able to use it in their lives. You think about Jesus when he was fighting temptation against Satan in the 40 days of wilderness. Guess what was his offensive weapon? It was the Word of God. It was the sword that sent Satan away. Today, people need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. You know, we might think that in America, you know, even though there's a spiritual dullness, yet we need to understand that the gospel needs to be preached. Jesus said that he will not return to this earth until when? Until the gospel is preached to every tongue and every tribe. Amen? God is wanting to do that today. The second thing I want you to notice in verse 18, he says the first is what? Is the message of Christ has been accomplished, or the purpose of Christ is accomplished through me in word. Second thing I want you to see is the word deed. I want us to call that witness, the second W, witness. You know, Francis of Assisi, one of the great saints of old, said, "Preach the gospel at all times. If need be, use words." I want you to think about that for a moment. Preach the gospel at all times, but if need be, use words. What is he saying? He's saying that our lives need to be a testimony, that they need to be the salt of this world, that they need to be the light of this world. You know, when you think about it, if you're driving in the evenings, by about 5 o'clock, it is quite dark outside, isn't it? 5 o'clock, it's pitch dark. It's almost like you're thinking it's got to be 7 or 8 at night. But you know what? Even a little light in darkness makes a big difference. You know, you could have the greatest meal prepared, a good Indian biryani or good Indian fish curry from Kerala. But if it doesn't have enough salt, it's just not as good. It's just not as tasty. You know what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? You know, remain in Jerusalem until you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, until you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then you'll be what? My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what we need to understand today? Is that our lives need to speak the message of the gospel. It needs to speak the truth in love. You know, we need to be that example. We need to be that helper to the widow down the street, to the orphan, to the divorced mother, to the divorced father. You know, we need to be the example to the widower. You know, if we see somebody in need, we should be the first ones to say, "Yes, how can I help you?" We should not be the first ones to go to the door, my friends. We should be the ones to the door to open the door for others. You know what? Many Indians, we're known for our good technical brains that God has blessed us with. But can you imagine for a moment, if we are come to be known as compassionate people, if we are known to be people who are there, who are gracious, who are merciful, representing the character of Jesus Christ. You know, that our witness is so strong that people will come and ask you and say, "What is it that is so different about your life?" That we can say, "It is because of Jesus that changed me." Amen? In the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul writes to the Colossian believers. He says, our lives need to be what? A living epistle, a letter, a book that people can read out of, where they will see Jesus in our lives. My friends, even in America today, where secularism is taking over, whether it be in India, where the darkness is being put asunder and the light is going forth, the witness of Jesus Christ needs to flow through us. Amen? Amen. Godliness, character needs to flow through us. We need to be men and women who stand up, who say, "Yes, I want to be counted for the message of the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, you may be working at Microsoft. One of our sisters works at a school, as we heard in her testimony for this prayer request. You know, you might be working at home as a stay-at-home mom. You know what? If you look around, missions is all around you. You know, you don't necessarily have to go to India to be a missionary. You don't necessarily have to go to Africa to be a missionary. Because it's been said, a missionary is not one who just crosses the seas, but a missionary is one who sees the cross. I want to ask you this morning, my friend, have you taken a fresh look at that cross to realize the purpose and the mission that God has set before you? That you don't necessarily have to go to Korea or Africa or Alaska. But if you're willing to take a look at that cross, that you would realize the need of your neighbor for Jesus Christ. That you would once again realize, as Pastor has already shared this Thanksgiving, that it's the cross that we need to be thankful for. My friends, not everybody is called to be an evangelist, but everybody sitting here today is called to evangelism. Can I repeat that again? Not everybody is called to be an evangelist or a pastor, but everybody is called to evangelism. You know, my prayer for India is that God would bless it so that India can bless God, so that India can shine forth the gospel in the eastern part of the world, in South Asia, that as China is a rising giant, that India too would rise up, not just to be known for its technology, not to be known just for its textiles, but to be known as a country which has met the Lord. Amen? So I want us to pray for India, to pray for America. But thirdly, Paul says in verse 3, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. So first of all, we've seen the Word of God in evangelism is quite vital. The second thing is our lives need to speak the testimony. We need to be a witness. Thirdly, what I want to share with you are the wonders of God. The third W is the wonders of God. My friends, if we believe that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we call ourselves Pentecostals, guess what? We need to pray that God would manifest Himself through us. Amen? We need to pray sincerely. We need to ask God for signs and wonders that He would make Himself known. You know, sometimes people make a mockery of God. They make a mockery of miracles. They might make a mockery of the wonders of God. But you know what I know? That when a person is so desperate in their life, whether it be for a healing in their marriage, whether it be for healing in their body, whether it be they're looking for a job, they're seeking God for answers, they're willing to turn to God. They're willing to ask their neighbor whom they may have made fun of. They might come to you and they might say, "Madam, could you please pray for me? Sir, could you pray for me? Because I know you're a man, you're a woman of prayer." It might be your job, and you might feel like all these guys are, you know, above church, if you will. They might be above God, about their need for God. But my friends, God is wanting to do signs and wonders all around the world. I remember being in the city of Mandya, our neighboring district in Karnataka. And I met this young gal about 17 years of age. And she looked quite sickly. And I asked her what her problem was. And as I spoke to her in Kannada, she said that both her kidneys had failed. And the doctors had given her no hope for survival. And as you know, many villages and towns in India do not have the medical facilities of dialysis and such as modern cities have in India. And she said, "I don't know what to do." So I asked that young girl to come forward. And we just laid our hands and prayed for her. I didn't hear anything about that girl for 3 months until I went back for a wedding anniversary in that town. And when I saw that girl, I looked at our pastor, Anil, and I said, "Isn't this the gal we prayed for?" He said, "Yes, Pastor. This girl's kidneys are both functioning." Amen? In the same town, there's a young PT teacher at a local school, a Phi Ed teacher. As Anil led me to his house, he said, "Pastor, we need to pray for this man. Him and his wife have been married for 8 years and they have no children. And as you understand our Indian culture, that if a woman is not able to give birth to a child, it's considered a reproach or a shame. And so we just prayed for this man and his wife in faith, believing that God would bless them and honor their faith in the Lord." And about a year later, Anil told me that he had just been to the dedication of that child. You know what? God is able to do things and willing to do things which our own abilities cannot. We need to believe today as Pentecostals filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask God. Say, "God, I want to be used of you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to be used of you in the wonders of the Spirit." You know, my friends, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just about speaking in tongues. It's just the beginning of what God wants to do in you. You look at Acts chapter 2. They waited on the Holy Spirit. When they're filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened? God gave Peter that boldness to speak the message of the gospel. 3,000 people were saved that day. Acts chapter 4, 2,000 people are saved. You read the book of Acts. It's not just a historical document in the Bible, but it's a precedent that God has set that when we believe in Him, that when we trust in His power, that He is wanting to do great things. My friends, we need to expect great things from God. And we need to believe God for great things. That's what William Carey, the pioneer of the pioneer to India, that missionary, he said what? Believe God. Expect great things from God. Anticipate great things from God. You know what? Sometimes we come to God with a small little glass or a tumbler. We're saying, "God, can you just fill me with your Holy Spirit for today? Could you just give me the power for today? But God is saying, no, my son, no, my daughter. I want to fill you overflowing. Amen? You know, today we live around many. And my encouragement to each of you, not just from the Indian community, my friends, we need to pray that God would give us inroads in the city of Seattle and the surrounding areas to win our neighbors to the Lord, to win our co-workers to the Lord. You know, ask God that these three W's would be worked out in your life, that the word of God would flow through you boldly. Secondly, that you would live your life as a witness for God. Don't compromise God's word. Don't compromise God's spirit. Stand up as Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego did. Ask God. Say, God, I want to be your witness, and God will use you. And you know what? God may be looking to answer somebody's prayer through your life. And ask God, say, God, I want to exercise that faith so that our Gentile friends, though we may not be Jewish, we can pray that many of our friends who don't know the Lord would come to know Him as Lord and Savior. My friends, the mission has still not been accomplished, but God is saying, I want to use you. Amen? My friends, Oscar Schindler, if you've seen that great movie of Schindler's List, where this one German man saved thousands of Jewish people. At the end of the movie, he looked at his car and he said, oh, I wish I could have done more so that I could have saved more. It wasn't a sense of regret, but a sense of saying, God, I'm not satisfied. You know, I don't want any of us sitting here today to be satisfied. I don't want any of us one day to stand before God and say, oh, God, I wish I could have done more. My friends, let's make use of the opportunity that God has given us, the time, our talent, and our treasure, so that the gospel can go forth. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that you are here today. I pray that you would speak to us. I pray, God, that if any of us are discouraged in missions and evangelism, may we look unto you, the Lord who is our answer. May we look to you, the one who's our visionary, the one who leads us, the one who guides us, and the one who directs us. I pray today, God, that you would empower Indian Pentecostal Assembly here in Seattle once again with the power of your Holy Spirit, God, so that we are able to go forth, Lord, not just in name only, but also in deeds and signs and wonders. I pray that you would bless our pastor, encourage him, continue to fill him with your vision and with your spirit. Lead us and guide us today. Thank you for this great opportunity you've given us, God, to hear your word. We ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you very much.